house of the Lord. Thankful for these songs today and for what we have felt in our hearts. And I hope that you don't give up now, but you just keep on praying and ask the Lord to move in a mighty way. The message this morning is a very familiar message. Nothing is new, but yet it still revives my heart every time I think about what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. It excites me, Brother Ron, to know that He loved us enough that He came to die for your sins and for mine today. In the book of John, if you want to open up with us this morning, real quickly, and I promise you this, I've not got a long message this morning, unless God moves.
Amen.
And if God moves, we'll be here as long as God wants us to be, but I didn't come to preach to you all day. It doesn't take a whole lot of preaching to get to where we live in, to where we live at, I should say. If you're saved, it shouldn't take a whole lot of preaching to excite your soul about what the Lord has done. If you're away from God, it doesn't take a whole lot of preaching for you to get right. And if you're lost, it doesn't take a whole lot of preaching for you to get saved. If you've come looking for a Savior, let me introduce you to the one who made this day, this season that we celebrate, all possible. As the sister testified a few minutes ago, many of our people around the world are serving a dead God. Their gods are still entombed. They're still there. Their bodies are just decaying with each passing day. But praise God, we don't serve a dead God. He's alive, and He's alive and well this morning. Some folks might say, how do you know He's alive? I talked to Him. I talked to Him yesterday. I talked to Him this morning. And I have felt the presence of the Lord in this house this day that we have gathered here. And folks, a dead God cannot commune with His people like a living God can. And He knows what you need today as well. In the Bible, in the book of John, in the 17th chapter, is where we'll be reading from the first eight verses here this morning. And He says it like this. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go right ahead. But He says it like this in the first verse. He says, these words spake Jesus and lift up His eyes to heaven and came and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, and Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. Listen to this. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, that they might receive them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou did send me. And stop reading there with the eighth verse, and you can be seated in the house of God. And our thoughts has been on this, and our text this morning would be entitled, It Is Time. It is time. Often when the crowds would come against Jesus and His disciples, the apostles would try to push Him aside, Brother Kenny, so that they would not get to Him to do Him physical harm or to cause Him some type of danger. He would often say that, don't worry, men, if I can paraphrase it, my time is not at hand. You don't have to worry about it. They're not going to hurt me because it's not time for me to be in danger. It's not time for me to lay down my life. But here we read, as we do in some of the other Gospels, about this was different. Jesus said that His hour was come in that first verse. It's time for me, if you'll have it this morning, it's time for me that I have to lay down my life, so that men and women won't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Jesus made a way that there was no way before Him. There was a way that you could keep the law and you could die in faith, believing that the Messiah would come. But Jesus came and fulfilled that the Messiah was here. No longer do we have to look for a Messiah to come. Amen. He's already with us. He died. And folks, and let me preach to you for a few minutes this morning. Before we can ever preach about the resurrection, we must first tell about the death.
Amen.
We must first tell about the life. And let's even go back to the birth, because he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem.
Amen.
He did live a sinless life upon this earth. And he did and was the perfect sacrifice for all of man's sin. He died a death that nobody else has ever died. Because his death, in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it tells about his death and about how that he would be bruised, how that he would be beaten, and how that he would die upon a cross at Calvary. This is not some new message that folks would like for us to clean up. I still believe it takes the blood in order to wash away the sins of the world. Jesus came and died. He said, my hour is now at hand. It's time for me, if you'll have it to be, have it this morning, it's time for me to be delivered up. It's time for me to lay down my life. If we can go back for just a few minutes of time, Jesus did a lot of good works while he was here, did he not? The Bible says that while he was here, that the lame was able to get up and walk. That while he was here, that he touched many a blinded eyes and made them to see. While he was here, that he took many that was possessed with demons and he cast those demons out of them. While he was here, as Jeff sings a song, that there was many blinded eyes that was open that could see what was happening for the first time in their lives. But Jesus did not come just to perform miracles for people that were sick or afflicted. He did a lot of them. And folks, some of you and some of us this morning could celebrate the Lord because we had a need for a miracle and Jesus Christ has brought it to us and the healing of our bodies. Amen. But folks, that is not why Jesus came. He could do a lot of good works for us, but that's not why he come. He come because there was no way for man to get to God.
That's right.
There was a wall that was there. The Bible, Brother Kenny, tells us very clearly about this wall that was there. And before man could even talk to God, they had to go through a priest to go into the holiest of holy to offer up their prayer and for a sin atonement unto God. But there was no way for man to get to God. So God come in a form of a man to this earth.
Amen.
And he come and he lived a sinless life. But he did not just come just to be a good man. But he come that he might pay the debt that you and I owe this morning. Because we, because of our father Adam, we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was no way for us to get to heaven. There was no way for us to get to God. In fact, and I don't want to preach a lot of doctrine this morning, but I want to follow my heart. There was no way for man, once he died, to make it from earth to glory. Men that died faith believing were put in a place called paradise. Am I preaching the truth? They were put there because they had not received the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ in order for them to go to heaven. And the Bible says that when Jesus came, that he preached the gospel, not his gospel, but the gospel of his Father which sent him. How many times in the Bible do we read it where Jesus said, I came not to do my will, but I come to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. He come to build a bridge, if I can preach it simple this morning, a bridge that man could get to God. There was no way for us to get to God. But Jesus come to build a path that we could get to glory when our life comes to an end. And not just that, but church, how many of us know this morning that even while we're on this side, Jesus built a part in our life that was missing for so many years. That we had a void that was there in our homes and in our hearts, that we knew that there was something that was missing. We wanted to do good. We wanted to live good. But we had a part that was missing. But Jesus came, Brother Eli, so that that void could be filled. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews in the 5th chapter. It says that scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But Jesus said, He said, I come to lay down my life for my friends. Anybody feel like shouting this morning? I'm glad that Jesus considered me a friend. Even when I was lost and undone. You know what He said? There's no way for you to get to my Father, but I'm going to come and I'm going to build a bridge to where that you can make it to my Father and be able to commune with Him. And Brother Ron, when your life comes to an end, that you'll know that heaven is your eternal home. You know what He did? Jesus was the mediator, is what the Bible calls Him. That He took hold of man, He took hold of God, and He made it so that man and God could come together. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning that I am not an outcast, but because Jesus come and I believed upon His word, I am now united with God and I'm just as much there as I am here. Some of you get that later on. I'm just as much there. People say, how can you be there? Because I've got a promise. How many of you know this morning that when you close your eyes for the last time, help me preach this morning. How many of you know that when you close your eyes for the last time, that you'll not have to worry about death and hell, but I've got a better place to go to when this life comes to an end. I've got a home beyond the stars and the moon and all the constellations. I've got a home over there that Jesus come to prepare for me. The Bible says it like this. Let me slow down. The Bible says it like this, that when Jesus come, He said, it's time. My time is at hand. It's time for me. I've done all these many wonderful works. Does not the book of John, the last chapter, say, Brother Larry, that if all the works were recorded that Jesus did, that the world could not contain the volume of books? He's done a lot of good things. But let me preach to you this morning. It's not just good things that Jesus come to do. You know what He come to do? He come so that a sinner boy, a sinner girl, a lost man or woman would have a way to get hold of God in the midst of their prayer. Folks, you do not have to go to the back room. You do not have to go to the priest or to the preacher. But how many of you know that now, because Jesus come, you now can go straight to the Father with your prayer request. Let it be known of God what it is that you need to have done, and God will hear, because Jesus said it like this, and I'm going to preach to you this morning for a few minutes of time. Jesus said, anything that you ask of God in my name, in His name, it shall be given unto you today. People say, I don't like that kind of preaching. That's old time preaching. I believe that you have to work for it, and you have to earn it, you have to live right and do right. Brother Kenny, none of us would ever receive what we have had not God gave it to us today. And He gives it to you that are still lost if you'll receive Him this morning. Jesus said, now is my soul troubled. He's troubled because He knew His time was at hand. Certainly everywhere He went, folks were excited to see Jesus Christ come into town. You know what they did? And I said, I wasn't going to preach long. I'm trying to make a long message into a short message. Every town Jesus went into, when they saw or heard that Jesus was in town, they would gather all their sick folk, and they would bring them to Jesus that they might be made whole. Folks, today, the church, we're still trying to get our sick folk to Jesus Christ, because how many of you this morning on this Easter Sunday, you know, if you could just get them to where Jesus is, that everything that is wrong with their life, it can be made whole. For those that are sick, they can receive a miracle of healing. For those that are in financial despair, God is able to give them a blessing, a financial blessing. But most of all, for those that are lost and undone, how many of us today, Jesus is in town, how many of you like to gather up a bunch of your folk and take take them to where the Lord is at so that they can receive what He come to do. They would bring all their people to where Jesus was so that they could be made whole. How exciting it must have been. And I try not to preach too long, but how exciting it must have been, Brother Rob Cox, for you to be able to be there in the town when Jesus come in. You know what they told blind Bartimaeus when he heard that Jesus was in town? He began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they commanded him to be quiet. Folks, let me tell you, when you know that you need a miracle and the miracle worker's in the house, there's not enough devils in hell to hush you when you need it that bad. Folks, you will find a place to get to where the Lord is so that you can receive your miracle. But now his soul was troubled because he knew his time was at hand. He prayed before he even got to the garden. In the latter verses of this, the Bible says that his soul was troubled. He knew that it was that awful time that he had come to this earth. For over 3 years he'd been preaching and healing and teaching these folks about why he came. And now, Larry, the time had quickly evaded him, and it was time for him to be offered up as a sacrifice for all of man's sin. But he said, "Well, Father, my soul is troubled. It's time for me to lay down my life." Jesus wasn't excited about dying for your sins and my sins. Can I preach it like that this morning? On the human side, he was troubled. "I've got to go through. If it was just dying, it would be one thing. But he had to be beaten beyond even recognition. His beard was plucked out. His hair was pulled out. He was beaten such that even his parents wouldn't be able to recognize him. No man was ever beaten like Jesus Christ was, to suffer a death of hanging upon a cross at Calvary. He was beaten to just a pulp, if you'll have it, but still being God, when others would have fainted or died along the way, he still walked every step up Calvary's hill. And folks, let me just preach my heart to you this morning. You know why he was able to still walk up that hill? Because he saw sinners like you and I. And he said, "Lord, I'm troubled, but Father, give me strength as I walk." You know what the scripture says? It says in one part of the Bible, he says that he was so troubled that he began to cry out and said, "Father, would you just glorify me?" And then there was a voice from heaven that they heard and said, "I have glorified you and I do glorify you." And because he's the Son of the living God, the Father looked down upon him and saw his trouble that his life was in. But Jesus said, "It's time. It's time for me to be offered up." And he took and he began to prepare the apostles that, "I'm going away. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going away because this is why I come to this earth. This is why," as he said in the 32nd verse, he said, "And let me tell you about why I have to die this way." He said, because in that 32nd verse of the same chapter, he said, "And if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me today." I'm glad that there's a drawing power about God. I'm glad that there's a something that's beyond just signing a church card. And I know I'm preaching a lot of doctrine this morning. There's something more than just signing a church card and saying that you belong to God. There's more than just trying to change your life and do good works to belong to God. I still believe in old time Holy Ghost filled conviction in the house of God that starts at the front and goes to the back, and it draws sinners unto Jesus Christ, because Jesus said it like this: "No man can come unto me unless my Father which is in heaven draw him." How many of you remember this morning, and you'll get with me in a few minutes, but how many of you remember that drawing power of God, Sister Della, when you sat there on the pew lost and undone? Somebody sang a Holy Ghost filled song, some preacher got up and preached you the truth, and you remember that there was a drawing that took place. I knew I was sitting there in the pew, but I knew in my heart where I wanted to be was on the altar today. I didn't walk down the aisle just because I wanted to look good walking down the aisle. I walked down the aisle because I knew that I needed to be saved by God's grace. And the best thing that ever happened to this old boy, can I get a witness this morning, is that I gave my heart and soul to Jesus Christ, and he saved me from my sins today. I am a witness of what Easter's all about. How many of you are today? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. How many to know that you've been born again by the grace of God? You know why that's Easter? Can I meddle for a minute? It's not about the bunny rabbit. It's not about the eggs. It's not about the chocolate. There is nothing wrong with those in the right place. But folks, when I think about Easter, I think about that I once was lost, but now I found. I once was headed to hell and destruction, but now, praise God, I'm going to heaven when my life comes to an end. Folks, Jesus didn't come just to give us a good life. He came to give us an abundant life, and knowing that our sins have been covered by His precious blood. He said, my time is at hand. My spirit, my soul, my body, my life is in trouble. I'm troubled on every hand. Can I put it like this? I heard a preacher like this say it several years ago, Brother Kenny. He wasn't excited about Wednesday. And some folks say, well, I thought it was on a Friday. That's why we call it Good Friday. Their calendar and our calendar doesn't match up. Just take my word for it this morning. And then you go home and dig in the Bible and find out. He wasn't excited about Wednesday. He knew on Wednesday he would be betrayed by even one of his apostles. He knew on Wednesday that the guards would come out and arrest him. Even though he'd been in there in the temple and never done any wrong, nobody ever come against him before that day to arrest him for what he was teaching and preaching. He knew on Wednesday that there would be a course, and not just one, but a course of trials, to where he would be handed from one to another. And they knew on Wednesday that it would be on that day that they would say, if thou be the king, tell me who it is. They would blindfold him and they would smite him upside the head and said, if thou be the king, tell us who it was that hit you. But he opened not his mouth. In fact, praise God, today he kept his mouth shut so that you and I can open ours up this morning. Never thought about this way this morning, but I'm going to preach my heart. He kept his shut so you and I can raise our voices up and say, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved and I know I'm saved. And I'm heading to hope, to glory when this life comes to an end. Praise God. We ought to open our mouths because he kept his shut. He wasn't excited about Wednesday. He knew on Wednesday that even his friends would turn and walk away. Oh, I'll get to my clothes in just a minute. He knew on Wednesday even those that followed him would be scattered abroad. In fact, he knew that the writer said it like this. In fact, he was the Word of God in the flesh. He knew what the Word said, did he not? He knew that the writer of the book said that when the shepherd is taken, when the shepherd is killed, that the sheep will be scattered abroad. He knew that those that walked beside of him would turn and walk away. But he also knew it this, like this. He knew that even though all of his friends might betray him, and folks, this ought to make a Baptist church happy on a Sunday morning, even though all of his friends would turn and walk away, he still would have the presence of the Father with him every step of the way. Today, folks, you and I have got more than just friends. We got a friend in Jesus Christ who said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of this life. Even beyond that, he said, to the end of this world. Amen. Jesus was not excited about Wednesday. In fact, before he was arrested, he went with some of the apostles and he told them, he said, I'm going to go yonder and pray. You fellas stay here, I'm going to go yonder and pray. Look at this morning, church. And when he went there to pray, he prayed like this. He said, Father, see, he was troubled. How many of us, knowing that we're about to give our life for a bunch of people, some of our people today are just, that not only have gratitude even to look up and say, thank you, Lord. Some of them don't even appreciate what Jesus went through. That there'll be many of those say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this, there will come a day that you will believe.
That's right.
The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You'll either do it while you're living or you'll do it while you're eternally bound in hell and destruction. How many of you today are like me? I'm glad that I bowed upon an altar and I confess that Jesus is Lord and I don't have to worry about all the pain chains of hell and destruction and bowing down there and going, I can't get out because I'm in hell and there's a gulf in between us. I can't get out. But praise God, Jesus reached way down and He pulled me out of that terrible place and He set my feet upon a solid rock. I might preach for a few more minutes. But He prayed there in the garden. His soul was troubled. And He prayed as such. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But He knew the answer. There was no way for man's sins to be paid for unless Jesus died. No way. It wasn't the blood of heifers and goats and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons. It wasn't their blood that paid for our sins. All that was landing over from one year to the next year to the next year. People say, why did they just, that was just like paying the interest on it, Scott. Phelps, if I could put it like, he was just paying the interest, getting it ready. And people say, why did they do it that way? Because God knew in the annals of time, He knew right out there at about 2012 years ago, He knew that His Son was going to come and be the last sacrifice to ever be offered up as an atonement for man's sin. I like what Brother Sterling Boland said several years ago. He said when Jesus came, it was only fitting that He would be born in a manger. He said it like this, and this hot, every time I think about it, it makes me want to just run a little bit or shout real loud. He said it's only fitting that they had to go back to the manger one more time to get that lamb to take it and offer it up. But folks, Jesus was more than just a lamb. He was a perfect lamb without blemish and without spot, prepared by God to pay for your sins. He wasn't excited about dying. But yet He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. And the Bible says that they arrested Him and they beat Him. They took Him from court to court to court to court. And all this was done very quickly. How many of y'all know that our government does things very quickly when they don't want the people to know about it? Amen? You know what it was? It was similitude of what happened in that day. They did it very quickly so that they could get it processed and get it pushed out. They was bound and determined to kill Jesus Christ. But you know what? They did not take His life. He gave His life. People say, how did they get all those court proceedings done so quickly? You know how they got it done? Because the Father ordinated this in the past to make sure everything was done quickly because it was Passover. It was time for a lamb to be offered up. Oh, that'll preach. I wish I had another hour. Don't worry, I'm not going to take it. But I wish we got so much involvement in everything that's going on outside the church. I wish we could get that inside the church again.
Amen.
Just for a little while longer. But the Bible says it like this. He gave His life. He was crucified there on the cross at Calvary. And when they looked around, every one of His followers was gone. The Bible says that when He looked around and He saw those people that was there, the only ones that was there, if I can remember correctly, was His mother, her sister, and Mary Magdalene. That's the only ones that was there around Him. And He looked at them. And I like what He said, moms. He said, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Can I put this in as a sidebar? If there's ever a time we ought to be crying out to God for our children, it's the day in which we live in right now. It's this day. Because our children are wandering away from God. Our children are wandering out into the world and the devil is hooking them with everything he's got. But folks, let me tell you, they'll find out at a great price. It's not what the devil offers you that is what God really wants you to have. And it'll destroy you. Let me come to a close this morning. When He died upon the cross, they put that superscription up there on the cross. The King of the Jews. And I think this is such a wonderful blessing. Not only did they put it there, But if they put it there in three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. People say, why did they do that? You know why? Because he was not just a king of the Jews to one particular person. He was king of the Jews to the whole world. But let me expound for a minute if I can, Sister Carlene. Whether he's the king of the world or not, he's still my king. Amen? He's still my king. They put it there, and then the Bible says that seeing that when he died, you know, remember he cried out to his father, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that his time was done and he was about to give up the ghost. And the Bible says that when he died, that the heavens were made dark. The darkness filled the sky. The people say, why did it get so dark? Because the light had been taken out of his life. The light had been taken out. The darkness come and the earth's tremored. And then it was about the time for them to take him down. Because of the Passover, typically what happened is that they would go around to these that were crucified and they would break their legs in order to expedite the dying process. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he had already yielded up the ghost. Let me cover that for just a minute. Folks, he was supernatural in his birth. He was supernatural in his life. And he was supernatural in his death. He died. And people say, why was it so important that they not break his legs? Because you see, a lamb could not have any blemishes or spots. It couldn't have anything wrong with it. Folks, he come in perfect and he left perfect. Amen. Oh. And when they come to take him down, and I'm quickly covering his ground. The Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea begged a body. He was a follower of Christ. He was part of the Sanhedrin court, was he not? And he was a follower, and he was a secret follower, like Nicodemus was. Can I put this in? Folks, you don't have time, and I don't have time to be a secret follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, wave your flag up high. I am redeemed by the grace of God. I am saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. Don't be ashamed of what good thing God has done for you. And they come there and they buried him in the tomb. They rolled a stone in place. And they put a seal round about it. Now, I don't have time to cover all that. But in the biblical days, what it was, they would take wax and they would put around the stone. And then they would put the insignia, the ring of the key. They would put his insignia on the seal to say this, that no one has the authority to open this that has been sealed. If you open it without the king's approval, it will mean death to you. And not just that, but you remember they came and said, oh, king, remember what the deceiver said, that in 3 days he would raise up again. We better put some guards there to watch it to make sure his followers don't come and steal him away, and then it would be worse then than it is now. But folks, they had no intent of stealing him away. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to raise it back up. Amen. Folks, let me close this morning. The Bible says on the third appointed day that the stone, the angel of the Lord. There was a thunder. But angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And the angel went there and it rolled a stone away. This ought to make somebody want to shout this morning. And you say, why is that so significant? The angel did not roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. In fact, listen to what the angel said. The angel said, this man whom you seek is not here. He is risen. Oh, I read that this morning as Becky was driving us over here. And I tell you, you ever read the Bible and you just about have a fit when you're reading it? The angel of the Lord said, he's not here. I know who you seek today. But it's time. It was time for him to lay down his life. He's not here. But they didn't stop there. The angel came and told them, come and see where he laid. I thank God for that this morning. Can you see them? I've not been there, but they tell me that you got to stoop down to look down at where he was at, where the tomb was at. You had to, because you got to take some steps down and look inside. The angel said, come and see where he lay. He's not here. You know what? Can I put this in Roger's words? You remember when Jesus was born? You remember that the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy, for unto you and born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If I come there to the tomb at Kenny Banks, you know what I say? I can hear the angel say, come, and I bring unto you good news of great joy, for unto you today a dead Savior was buried and put in his tomb. But come and see, he's not here. He's not dead. He's alive. Amen. And he's alive forevermore. Come and see. And don't stop there. But go and tell everybody he's alive today. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It was good news when he was born. But to us that are lost, those lost, it is better news that he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And folks, I got to go back for just a minute. Y'all can get your song ready, but I got to cover this. When Jesus was in the grave before he came out, the Bible says that he went and preached to those that was in the prison. He went back and told them, and I say this about every year, but it excites me, and I try to contain myself every once in a while. But the Bible teaches us like this. That the blood not just had to go forward, but it also had to go backward to those that were in paradise. But folks, anybody got any keys on you this morning? Somebody take out your keys real fast for me today. You know what he did? He said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I could just see it like this morning. When he began to go back there while he's in the grave for 3 days and three nights, he had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He went back to those that was in paradise. They heard the keys coming down the hallway. They began to rejoice that Jesus come. We look for him to come. He's come. He died. And now we're about to get up. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jesus got up, that many of the saints that slept got up with him. And folks, let me close. Can y'all come and sing for us? I'm about wore out. But let me close with this morning. The Bible teaches us that it's about time for you and I that have not been saved, for you and I that have been saved, it's about time that we get about the Father's business. It's time that if you're lost, that you get saved. Because just at any time now, I believe it's time for the trump of God to sound, declaring that time shall be no more. I won't be preaching about a Savior coming. Then we'll be shouting as we leave this world, go toward the eastern sky to be with our Lord and Savior. Oh, sing for us. I preached out this morning. The Bible teaches us it was his time. This morning, it's your time. Joshua of old said it like this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to believe that Jesus came and he died and he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. As for me and my house, I'm going to go to church where I can hear him sing about him. I'm going to go to church where I can hear him preach about him. I'm going to go to church where I have some brothers and sisters that can testify that they've received the same thing that I... How many of you got the same thing I got this morning? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning while they sing. Go ahead and sing for us today. Get up here and get a mic. Yes. If you're lost, you need to get saved this morning. If you are saved and you're away from God, you need to get right. It's time. Listen to this. The supreme sacrifice. Help them sing it this morning. That was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Yeah. How about you today, Mom and Dad? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? If not, you ought to do like Morgan did the other Sunday. You ought to do like Rose did the other Sunday morning. You ought to make a way down to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and get saved by God's grace. Yes. How about you, Mom and Dad? Are you saved this morning? Do you believe in Easter?
It's more than just the bunny rabbit and the eggs. It's about a Savior that died for your sins. Yeah. To drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. Yeah. Yes. And I'm so glad. He didn't call heaven's angels. Amen. Folks, Easter is a reality. Serving a risen Savior is a reality. How about you today? God bless you this morning. How about today? Are you right with God? This altar be a good place for you to stop off and call upon the Father. It's time. Yes. Then forever, my soul would have been lost. Bless you this morning. Bless you. Bless you. Yes. Amen. Rob, come sing us another song while they continue to shake hands, would you? Today, beautiful song, Kenny. Bless you. Brother, I appreciate it. Bless you.
You know, I sit over there in Hillsboro, I don't care. And there ain't nobody ever comes and sees me. And I have many thoughts that I think of every day.
Bless you, Ken.
I got a thought yesterday. I remember a man said many years ago, made this statement. And it came to my mind, and I pondered on it for quite a while yesterday. You know, we worry about the things that we don't understand. And we're always searching in the Bible looking for answers to things we don't understand. You know, we worry about those things. Well, I'll tell you what we ought to be doing as Christians. We ought to take care of the things that we do understand.
Set him free, But he died there that day so my sin could be washed away. Yes, it was love that held my Savior to the cross.
Thank you.